It's really cool that we had Max and Colleen with us today, because in some ways their story and their experience lives out some of what we've been seeing in the life of our family trees. Big story of God and the ancestors, the people who have come before us in this story, the people who we look to and learn from throughout these passages of Scripture. And so we see in Mike, you're going to have to tell your brother that I'm getting you mixed up. Max and Colleen, we see in their lives this follow-through to the nudging of the Holy Spirit. They're risking. We see in their story this hearing of God's voice in unexpected ways. And so this summer, as we've traveled through time, back in time in some ways, and we've explored our family tree, this is our fifth summer, by the way, of walking through this. As we've walked through our family tree, we've encountered King David as he passed on his kingdom, his legacy to his son, Solomon. We've walked and watched Solomon gifted with incredible wisdom and gifted with an incredible legacy, and nevertheless, being led astray. We cringed when the kingdom of Israel split apart, only four kings into the story. And we cringed to see that Israel and Judah have gone their separate ways with Jeroboam and Rahab. We met Elijah, and we met the widow who entered along with Elijah into this miraculous story of God's provision of bread. Bread that was there every day, even though they shouldn't have had that amount of flour and oil, and yet there was just enough every day for 3 years through them. And so we heard the story of God's provision. We were introduced to King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. We marveled at their immaturity, but at the same time, maybe had just a touch of relating, just a bit. Because we related maybe to Ahab's desire to repent before God, and yet not being able to follow through, not being able to stay in that place of walking with God. No change. We also got to meet Elisha, who eagerly followed and learned from his mentor Elijah. We got to see all that God did through both of these men. And so we've been invited through all of this, these particular branches of our family tree, we've been invited to pay attention to the legacy we leave. We've been challenged to not settle for what isn't the real thing. We've been moved to follow through with the nudging of God. We've been called to trust in deeper ways. We've been called to live into humility. We've been compelled to listen to the Spirit's voice. So once again, we've been strengthened by these stories that come as our legacy from our ancestors. God's big story. And so what better way to mark this passage of time through our family tree than at the table of the Lord? It's the table where we remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It's the table that stands both inside time, but also outside of time. See, the table is inside time because we actually remember a real life and a real flesh and blood kind of life. We remember a real crucifixion, a real nailing to the cross, a real stab to the side, and a real death that happened on a real day. We remember and recognize a real resurrection, a staggering, unbelievable, breathtaking, life-changing, real event. All of this happened in real life at an actual time. But the table also stands outside of time. Because of the saving and feeding and nurturing and healing action of Jesus' death and resurrection, it's eternal. It is not held by a date. It is not held on a page of history. It stands outside of time because it touches all of eternity. So what does that for you and for me, the life of our family tree, and what does it mean for us as we come to this table that's both inside time and outside time? As Steve read earlier, Jesus said to us, "I am the bread of life. The person who aligns with me hungers no more and thirsts no more ever." This is what my Father wants, that anyone who sees the Son and trusts who he is and what he does and then aligns with him will enter real life, eternal life. My part, Jesus says, is to put them on their feet, alive and whole at the completion of time. The same bread of heaven that nurtured and strengthened and sustained Elijah and the widow and her family is here at this table for you. The same God who filled with a double portion of his Spirit, filled Elisha, that same God is at work in you. Jesus said, "This is what the prophets meant when they wrote, and then they will be personally taught by God." See, Elijah and Elisha looked forward to the day when each person would be taught and touched personally by God. In Jesus' body and blood, in the giving of his very self, in the giving of his Spirit, that is what is available to you and me. That we would eat his body and drink of his blood so that we would live in him. That we would know his word, his teaching, his movement in us personally. So, eat the bread, drink the cup. Jesus says to us today, only insofar as you eat and drink flesh and blood do you have life within you. The one who brings a hearty appetite to this eating and drinking has eternal life and will be fit and ready. So come to this table this morning with a hearty appetite for God. Come hungry. Come to the table to be fed, to be nurtured, to be renewed, to be strengthened for the journey. One of my favorite songs says, "We keep breaking the bread and lifting the cup in order to be fixed from the inside." So come, eat the bread, drink the cup. Receive Jesus fully yet again this morning to grow in trust and to be reminded of provision and to be nudged by his Spirit to hear his voice. Jesus says, "My flesh is real food. And my blood is real drink. By eating my flesh, drinking my blood, you enter into me, and I into you." What an incredible promise. So come to the table. Eat the bread and drink the cup, that you might be found in Jesus once again. And he is found. I know it doesn't look like a feast, but this truly is It's not because of all that you see on the table, it's because of what you don't see. It's Jesus' Spirit. And so we remember through this prayer, just like Jesus taught us. He was having that supper with the disciples, the Last Supper, and he took bread and he broke it. And he said to them, "This is my body. It's given for you. Eat it to remember me all the way until I come." And in the same way, later in the meal, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is my blood, given for you, shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins." And so drink this cup. And every time, drink it so you remember me until hearts. In the quiet, as we come to you with all of who we are, all that is not perfect, all that is not worthy or looking so bright, we come with all of who we are, what isn't as pure as we would maybe like it to be, or maybe even as pure as we need to be before you. We come with all of this because it is only by your word, only by your blood and your flesh